When the Lord showed me the way, now I can yodel with my friend Jesus. I'll yippee-yay and yodel-o-tee. I'll sing his praises across the prairie. He's got a range in the sky for me.
Amen. Amen. Are you going to yodel your way home to Jesus, as the singer said? Welcome to Heritage Church Sunday Worship. And you can see that we have two wonderful special guests with us today. To my right is Hopalong Cassidy with his horse Topper. And to my left is Gene Autry. And of course, he brought his guitar. And we started off with the wonderful song sung by a group called Cowboys for Jesus, and they're singing a wonderful song of praise to our Lord. It's a different style, but I sure enjoyed it today, and I pray you did too. Thank you for tuning in this morning, and we encourage you just to be part of this worship service, to sing along and to worship with us. As we begin our worship today, our scripture text to begin is in Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, let us magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name. My soul, it says, my soul shall boast in the Lord. Let us just brag in how good God is and how good He is to us today. Let us open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we invite Your presence here. We invite Your presence into every home. Father, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit will lift hearts and bless and encourage all of us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we give You thanks. Amen. Amen. Come ahead, Sherry.
Good morning. I feel honored with these two guys standing beside me. I want to share today something that happened on Monday when I was here working. I got a telephone call from a lady, and she said, "We've left something on your porch out here, so would you like to come and get it?" And I said, "Well, okay." So I went out to get it, and it was this disinfecting Clorox bottle. But attached to it, it says, "We love your reader board messages. They have been timely for our life events, even before this pandemic. Thank you. God bless you, the Rowe family." And so as they rode their bicycles off the parking lot, and I looked at Lynn, and I had tears in my eyes because I thought, you know, how sweet somebody could be to do that today, that day, because it was a day that I needed it to lift my spirits, because it is lonely when I know Wednesday night comes and Sundays. It's lonely without all of you. So I just thought that was a very sweet and thoughtful thing that someone would do. So we need to do that today, because this is not the norm. We are not in the norm. And I know we're not together today, but we're together in hearts and spirits. So we're still going to sing "We're Together Again." So join me while you're at home there. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Together again, just praising the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord. broken down every wall.
Praise God for His wonderful peace. We thank God that Jesus said that He'll give us a peace that passeth all understanding, that He'll give us a supernatural peace from heaven. We can look around the world today, our own situations, our own families, in this nation even, and all the uncertainty, all the newness, all the things that are different, and our hearts long for peace. Our hearts long for that supernatural presence of the Lord, of Jesus just being with us and reassuring us by His Holy Spirit that we can receive that wonderful peace as that song mentions today. We go to the Lord in prayer this morning. The names on our prayer list will be shared with you. And we continue to lift up our President, President Trump, all of the leaders of our nation. Lift up the governors, and particularly the governor of Texas, our state, that there'll be wisdom and that God will guide them and that we can begin to get back to a period of folks being able to work, but at the same time being safe and not bringing risk to those that would be most affected by this disease. So pray for leadership across our nation. I want us to remember a request that's new in our list today. His name is Carl Hedwig. Carl Hedwig is battling cancer and has just a few weeks to live. And so please remember this special request today. Gabe Tuma still recovering from heart surgery. Tim Harder still in his rehab facility. And our missionary Chris Exley battling a very serious bout with cancer. Peggy Warren, we lift up Peggy today and just ask for God to touch that that issue of her heart and to minister to her and to bless her and give healing to her. And Kayla McCaslin battling cancer. This is Fiona Troop's son. Also, we lift up Marie Risley. And let us all continue to lift her up in prayer, and that God will touch her as she battles cancer, and that the strength and healing from heaven will be in her. Also, Kelly Mayer, Bill and Jane Mayer's daughter. It's good to have Bill and Jane back with us today, and it's wonderful to hear that music and the accordion. So we thank you, Jan. And we're lifting up Bill and Jan's daughter, Kelly, for the healing and for the wonderful Spirit of Christ just to fill her heart and life. And Emmy Ford and Inez Hitchcock and all of those dear friends that are normally with us that come from the assisted living and the chateau and other places, our hearts go out to you. We wish you could be with us, but we lift you up in prayer, and we thank God that many of you are able to watch through Facebook. God bless you. We're praying for you, for God's strength and protection to be yours. For Martha Llewellyn, who's battling inoperable cancer. And finally, our missionary of the month, which is Sharon Reeves. And what a great missionary she is. Let me just share with you that our missionaries are really struggling because in many ways, we have missionaries that are in foreign nations. We have missionaries that have come back home. Their situations are so different. But let me give you assurance that many of our missionaries in those foreign nations are still receiving the funds through our national office, through our World Missions Office. And so many of you have been so faithful in giving your tithes, your offerings, and your missions pledges that come in the mail almost daily. And I thank you for that, because it enables us to continue to send our support to our missionaries and to send even extra support to ministries that are in need. So thank you for that. Pray for our missionaries. Let us go to the Lord in prayer today. Pray for our family members. Pray for family members that need Jesus, that are lost, that don't know Christ. Pray for those that need healing, need a touch, that need work, that need encouragement. Join me in prayer right now as we go to the throne of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come into your presence. What a privilege it is, Father, just to come and to be with you and to come and worship you and to bring these needs before you. Father, there's so many folks in our nation that are hurting, that are frightened, that are uncertain of their situations. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to reach out and touch hearts and to give hope and encouragement and to draw folks to Jesus. Draw those that are lost. Draw those that have fallen away, that have grown cold in their spirit. Draw them back to the cross. Draw them back to Calvary and salvation and hope and peace in Christ. Father, we lift up the names on our prayer list and the family members of those that are not even aware of here today that are sick and need a touch. Father, give healing. By your mighty hand, reach down and touch them in a supernatural way. Father, I pray for those shut-ins and those dear folks that are in the assisted livings and the nursing homes and the chateau and many other places. God, give hope and encouragement to them. For all of our missionaries, Father, meet their needs and lift them up and encourage them today in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer. We thank you for answers to prayers. We thank you for all you do for us and your blessings in our families and in this church. Bless this nation. God, let revival begin in this nation. Bless our leaders. Bless those that are in authority. God, grant wisdom to them. Lead them by your Holy Spirit. We ask you all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God for prayer. Praise God for hope we have today in Christ. I can't imagine being in the world and going through what the world is enduring and not know Christ and not know Jesus. You know, Sherry mentioned the young mother and her little girl that dropped by the church and left a nice present and a note thanking us for the words that we put out on our sign every day. If you haven't seen those words, basically the sign says right now, and I'm paraphrasing it, the sign says, if you don't know Jesus, you've got a lot bigger problems than toilet paper. Understand that. We understand there's a little bit of a panic about the availability of toilet paper. And I pray that not only that, but all your needs are being met. If we can assist you in any way, give us a call at the church. We'll do our best to help you. If you need someone to go to the store for you, or you can't get out, we're honored to help you with that. Just give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you. This morning, I'm so thankful that we can come with our special guest. Our special guest, it's really appropriate that we have the Gene Autry and Hopalong Cassidy with us today, because I'm bringing you a sermon. It's called A Cowboy's Faith. And we're going to approach the sermon a little bit different today, and I hope that it'll lift your heart and your spirits and bless you. We begin with our scripture found in Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think if we change the wording just a little bit, that might fit more of the cowboy theme. It might say, you will show me the trail of life. Oh, the trail of life. Well, we'll focus on that a little bit later today. There was a fellow by the name of Jack Terry. He was born in Sweetwater, Texas in 1952, and he's recognized as one of America's most honored Western artists. Jack Terry's big break came when he was only 26 years old. He was named the Bicentennial Artist of Texas. That led to a one-man exhibit at the Texas Rotunda at the state capitol and a commission to paint Lyndon Baines Johnson. Jack Terry was a great man of faith. And he shared his testimony of Christ with all that would listen. Well, Jack Terry's maternal grandfather was a rancher and a cowboy who rode on some of the last great cattle drives out west. His granddad, named Mason, he lived his life, the life of a cowboy, with a code of ethics that the hero known as the American cowboy adhered to. Those cowboy ethics were based on things like completing a transaction with just a handshake, embracing the rewards of a loving family guided by principles of faith, responsibility, honesty, and integrity. The cowboy knew that life had a purpose, and that purpose was directly linked to his relationship with his Maker, our Heavenly Father. It was not something to be discovered by fortune or power or personal fame. The cowboy knew that he was placed here to be a caretaker of God's creation, a steward of the land and of the livestock and of the people that he loved and that loved him. So I encourage everyone today to saddle up and enjoy the ride this morning as we look at a cowboy's faith. And the first part of a cowboy's faith is dealing with the subject of adversity. There's an old saying the cowboys used to say quite often. You've heard it, I'm sure. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. In fact, I believe that's in a couple of songs. Well, Mason, the young teenager, worked as a cowboy on a cattle drive from the King Ranch all the way through to the railhead at Abilene, Kansas. It was a very long and sometimes difficult journey, and it had severe weather demanding the cowboy's attention at all times. Well, as the herd approached the vast plains of West Texas, a ferocious thunderstorm roared, and it was incredible. The skies were just blustering above them, showing that a storm was on its way. With less than half of the journey completed, the first obstacle of that cattle drive had occurred, and the cows became very nervous. They were spooked by the powerful wind and the lightning. The once tightly held herd began to scatter. They began to move outward toward the cowboys. And of course, the experienced hands, they knew the cattle were likely to stampede. And it was their task, their job, to keep them calm and in a real tight bunch along the trail before them. Well, as the lead steers approached a grassy hilltop, they startled an immense herd of buffalo. That buffalo had migrated south in search of sustaining grasslands. Well, much to the dismay of the cowboys, the cattle caught sight of the buffalo, and a stampede was now unavoidable. Lightning exploded above them, and the ground thundered below the powerful hoofbeats of the cows and the buffalo. They ran over 3 miles that disastrous afternoon. The chuck wagon and all the supplies were destroyed in the valley below, and the remuda of saddle horses was scattered for miles around. Well, the storm blew over, and about sundown, the trail boss gathered his men around the campfire and made plans with the cowboys to round up the scattered cattle. Well, the exhausted cowboys chased those cows for more than 8 miles, and the men returned at sunrise the next morning. They'd been out all night rounding up the cows, and they had most all of the herd together again, except for just a few strays. Well, just as Mason and the other cowboys were caught in the perils of the stampede, we too find that life has its stormy and sometimes disastrous side. Storms may come into our lives in many forms: tornadoes, floods, sickness, death. A pandemic that's covering the whole world today is quite a storm. Storms can even come into our lives because of angry words, of things said that we wish we could take back. And they can all seem to do irreparable damage to our lives. They can seem to do that. Moses wrote these words in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 30. When you are in distress, and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to His voice. Oh, we need to remember those words, that we're going to return to God and listen to His voice. We're all dealing with an abrupt and unusual and long-lasting storm, and it's covering the whole world right now. Often storms create distraction, and the distractions sweep through our lives and blow us completely off the trail, the path that we were traveling on. Just as the cowboy keeps his eye on the weather and an ear to the ground, we must be attentive to the storms around us, and we must listen. Yes, we must listen carefully to the voice of God. His voice is speaking to us. It's speaking to us through His Word. His voice is speaking to us through the Holy Scripture that gives confidence and hope and guidance and reassurance. His voice is speaking to us by His Holy Spirit to give calm and comfort to our spirits. Psalm 34 and verse 17 tells us, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." No, unfortunately, life isn't always easy. Adversity most definitely will come our way. When it does, just think of the cowboys like Mason and his friends on that trail who thought, you know, if it weren't for bad luck, you know the rest. And remember that when the storm is over, and it will pass, there is a place of rest and a voice that will guide you. And if you've got off the trail, that voice will guide you back onto that right trail that God has for each of us. Jesus promised in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You know these words. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, the first ride that we've taken this morning is the first part of this trail ride on Cowboy's Faith, and we've looked at adversity. So now we're going to finish the trail ride with the second part of a cowboy's faith, and that is contentment. American cowboys were probably the world's foremost experts on contentment. Perhaps it's because they faced so many strange and unusual events on the trail. It seems to be an unwritten code that they lived by, to live contentedly. The maker of the universe had destined them to be the caretakers of the land, of the livestock, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter if the sun was shining or the snow was falling or the wind was howling. They had a job to do. So do you and I, no matter what our circumstances are. Well, the Cowboys always found something positive, no matter how inconvenient the situation was. We could learn a lot from that today as well. Romans 8 and 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." The cowboy knows his calling. He knows his purpose. He never complains about the rain because he understands it's necessary to produce the grass that sustains the livestock. A contented mind is the greatest blessing a person can enjoy in this world. Let me say that again. A contented mind is the greatest blessing that a person can enjoy in this world. And you'll never have true contentment until Jesus is the priority of every part of your life. One afternoon when a cowboy was rounding up cattle on a large West Texas ranch, he watched as the sun was setting in the west and a large herd of cattle had moved on ahead of him, filling the sky with dust, causing a haze over the Davis Mountains in the background. Now, if you've never been to the Davis Mountains in West Texas, you've missed a magnificent sight. I personally believe it's the most beautiful part of the great state of Texas. Some will say the Guadalupe Mountains a little bit further west are wonderful, but there's something really beautiful and special about the Davis Mountains. If you've never been there, make the trip. It's worth it. Well, now back to this cowboy story. A job that had begun around campfire at 4 o'clock in the morning was about to be completed. As the cowboy, riding his buckskin horse, sat up tall in the saddle to look at the magnificent view, the last few head of the stragglers were pushed into the corral. Now, it would have been easy. It would have been easy to complain about all the exploits and difficulties of that particular day's cattle drive. They had roped, they had vaccinated, they had branded more than 250 cows. It had been a hot and dusty day. They had been kicked and stepped on. They'd breathed in the dust and they'd breathed in the smoke of a burning cowhide. And now they were tired, they were hungry, but no one was complaining. That was against the cowboy code. Only sissies and tenderfoots and greenhorns would have complained. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Would you just repeat that with me this morning? Those of you that are watching, say those words with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That lifts our heart, it lifts our faith. Well, the cowboys, they knew their purpose in life, and they were content, and they were glad to do their jobs, no matter what the circumstances. And we can gain lots of lessons from that. Far from the ranch lands of West Texas, however, discontented surrounds most of our lives. Discontentment surrounds most of the folks that we know, and how sad that is. Our lack of contentment, I believe, stems from the notion that we have to have the newest, the biggest, the best of everything. Advertisers, they attempt to convince us that we're too fat or that we're too skinny, or they attempt to convince us that the car we're driving isn't sporty or luxurious enough to make people know how successful we are. We complain when it rains. We complain when it doesn't rain. We complain when it's hot. And we complain when it's cold. We complain when there's too much to do. And we complain when there's not enough to do. It seems that few are really content with how they are and what they look like and what they have. The primary reason so many folks can't find contentment is due to their pursuit of money and their preoccupation with their own happiness and their own comfort themselves. The writer of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Let me ask you this morning, are you trusting in God? Are you totally, completely giving your life and your situation over to God? Are you trusting in Him? Let me ask you another question. Will God keep His word? Yes, absolutely He'll keep His word. You can count on it. As the old expression says, you can take it to the bank. We should learn to be content with what we have. But at the same time, we should never be satisfied in our pursuit of drawing closer to Jesus. We should never be satisfied in our desire to have more of Him in our life, to feel His closeness, and to pursue Him and to serve Him with all of our hearts. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this trail ride with me this morning. With everything around us that is so uncertain, and life changing so quick in so many new ways, we can hardly grasp or understand how, because things are changing so quickly. But we must remember blessed peace and blessings from God that come to us when we go to God in prayer. Oh, let us not forget the wonderful privilege of prayer. Prayer ushers us into the very presence of God. It enables us to get still and to get quiet before the Lord, to allow His Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and our spirits, allow Him to bring His joy and His peace into our hearts when we're alone with God in prayer. It's just like having a little bit of heaven on earth. Oh, when the Holy Spirit just surrounds us and we feel His presence, we begin to pray in the Spirit. It is like heaven on earth. And by the way, speaking of heaven on earth, I've got one final cowboy story I want to share with you this morning. An old cowboy was riding his trusty horse, followed by his faithful dog, and they were riding along a very unfamiliar trail. The man was enjoying the new scenery, and suddenly he remembered that he had died. And he remembered that the dog that was with him had died years ago, and he also remembered that that horse he was riding, that the horse had also died. He was confused. He began to wonder what was happening as he rides down the trail, because he realizes, I'm riding now my favorite old horse and my dog's right beside me, and I'm not even sure where the trail is leading me. Well, after a while, they came to a high white stone that looked like fine marble. And at the top of a long hill, the wall was broken by a tall arch. And on top of that arch was a golden letter, the letter H. Right on top of that arch was this beautiful golden letter H, and it was just glowing in the sunlight. Well, standing before it, he saw a magnificent gate in the arch, and it looked like mother of pearl all over that gate. And the street that led to that gate was beautiful, looked like gold. Well, he rode toward the gate, and as he got closer, he saw a man sitting at a desk to one side. Well, the cowboy was parched. He was tired. He was had a long journey. He needed water. So did his animals. And so he called out. He said, excuse me, sir, where are we? And the fellow said, well, this is heaven. Wow, the cowboy said, would you happen to have some water? And the fellow responded. He said, oh, sure. Come right on in. I'll have some ice water brought up for you right away. Well, as the gate began to open, the cowboy paused and he said, oh, sir, can I bring in my partners, my dog and my horse? And the fellow said, I'm sorry, mister, but we don't allow pets in here. Well, the cowboy thought about it for a moment. Then he turned his back to the road and he continued riding along the trail that he'd been on with his dog running along beside him. After another long ride at the top of another hill, he came to a dirt road that was leading through a ranch gate that looked as if it had never been closed. As he approached that gate, he saw a man inside, and this fellow was leaning up against a tree, and he was reading a book. The cowboy said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have any water?" "Sure," the fellow said. "There's a pump right over here. Help yourself." As the cowboy asked him, he said, "Well, how about my friends here?" And he gestured to his horse and his dog. And the fellow said, "Of course, they look thirsty too. Bring them with you." So the cowboy with his horse and his dog went through the gate, and sure enough, there was an old-fashioned hand pump with buckets right beside it. And the cowboy filled a cup in the buckets with wonderful, cool, delicious water, took a long drink, as did his horse and his dog. Well, when they were full, he walked back to the man, and he asked him, he said, "What do you call this place?" And the man said, "Well, this is heaven." And the cowboy said, "Well, that's very confusing, because the man down the road said that was heaven too." And the fellow says, "Oh, you mean the place with the glitzy gold street and the fake pearly gates? Well, that's hell." He said, "That big H over the entrance there, that big golden H, that stands for hell." And the cowboy asked him, he said, "Doesn't it make you mad? Doesn't it make you angry that they try to trick people and deceive them and make them think it's something that it's not?" And the fellow standing by the tree just says, "Well, actually not at all. In fact, we're happy that they screen out the folks who would leave behind their best friends. I don't want to leave any of my friends behind. I don't want to leave any of my family behind. Let's pray. Let's believe God for a great outpouring of His Spirit that'll draw hearts back to Jesus, that'll draw those that are lost back to a saving relationship with Christ. Let's pray for a mighty outbreak of revival, that friends and family that are lost will come to know Jesus." That's our faith. That's our hope. That's our purpose, isn't it, on this earth, until Jesus comes. And I remember the words of John in the end of that great book of Revelation when he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's our prayer today. Would you bow your heads with me today? Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that drew us to Calvary, that caused us to repent and to call upon the name of Jesus and to accept His forgiveness. Father, I just pray that we'll continue in our purpose, that we'll continue in our faith, in our hope, that we'll be even bolder in sharing the hope of the good news of Christ with all those around us, to tell others how much Jesus loves them and what Jesus has done for us in our lives. Oh, Father, I ask Your blessings now on this wonderful worship service. Touch hearts in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen. Well, I want to thank you today for tuning in and being with us. I hope you appreciate that these folks traveled millions of miles to be with us. They traveled all the way from my office down the street, right here at the front of this stage, and to give us a little different look and texture, so to speak, of what it's like to be in church. At least today it's not a totally empty place, because we got these cowboys with us, and of course we got Robert and Angela Wilburn helping us with the technical work here today with the camera. We got Brother Mike Rich here playing the piano, and Bill and Jan Mayer with Jan on the accordion, and of course my wife Sherry, and she's going to join me as we say goodbye to you. We sing a song that might be a familiar one to us. Are you ready, Sherry? Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think of sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. God bless you all. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday.